Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now, there should be some activity sheets for the children, which are coming round now. For the rest of you, I'm afraid, you're all going to just have to listen to me. But for the children, we've got some activity sheets, which gives you the opportunity to do that and dip into the service as you wish. Today, as we've heard, is Palm Sunday. And I think we're going to think about the events today and see what they mean to us. But before we do that, let's just commit this time once more to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for the time that we've already spent singing your praises and learning about your church in action at Spring Harvest. Father, we do thank you because you are most worthy of praise. Help us now, we pray, to understand more about you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand why he had to come to this earth and his plan for us. Bless us now, we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to consider the most momentous event that you've ever seen or you've ever been a part of. Can you think of a momentous event that you've seen or ever been a part of? Well, let me give you an example, a good example. Alice Newton is probably not a name that you've heard of. And her significant brush with destiny came when she was just 8 years old. Her father worked in publishing, and he gave her the first chapter of a book to read. She went away, read it, loved it, and told her father to get the rest of the book. He decided he better publish that book. He did advise the book's writer to get another job, as no one ever makes very much money out of being a children's author. Now, as you might have guessed, that author was J.K. Rowling. The book that she'd written was Harry Potter. That book went on to sell 500 million plus copies and be the inspiration for the best-selling box office success that Harry Potter became. J.K. Rowling is now the best-selling living UK author. On one hand, her father was quite wrong. On the other hand, he was quite right to publish the book. But Alice, aged 8, couldn't have been known what she had played a part of. And the reason for telling that story is obvious. The disciples, in the story that we've heard of Palm Sunday, didn't understand what they were taking part in or seeing with their own lives. And what we're going to do now is we're going to read John's version. Hopefully the words are here, yes. And it would be great if you could be the crowd as we read this out. In fact, what we're going to do, what I want you to do, is to shout out, if you can, the words which are underlined on the slide. They're the words the crowd says. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to practice that first so you don't fluff it when we get to actually doing it in the reading. Okay, so let's try this. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Great. Okay, let's read the whole passage and then you can join in. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Well, did you notice that John, the writer, admits that he and the other disciples didn't know what was going on? Now, we're going to think about that and these events, and our title is Jesus is King. And we're going to break that down into three elements based on Revelation 4:8, which is a familiar verse, which is about Jesus and says, Jesus, who was and is to come, which gives us Jesus was always king, Jesus is king, and I'll add in, but not that king, and Jesus is to be king. Now, don't worry if that sounds complicated. Just remember that Jesus is king. But let's move on and give this event some context. Jesus has nearly finished his earthly ministry. Scholars think he spent 3 years teaching, preaching. The miracles of Jesus have nearly all been completed. Very few miracles after this point. And the gospel writers recognize this as the crucial week. Now, there are only a few events in the Bible, in the New Testament, that all gospel writers include. John and Mark don't even include the events of Christmas, for example. But all four include this event, Jesus entering Jerusalem. And further evidence of the importance of this week is that around a third of all gospel chapters are about this week, 29 and a half out of 89, which gives you pretty close to a third. The church has rightly given this a prominence and calls it Holy Week. We've read John's account. Normally, we do read the other accounts because we get more details in them. But we saw some of that, I think, in the clip that we saw at the start of the service. John wants to draw our attention to certain things. He thinks they're important. And we're going to see the kingship of Jesus. We're going to see that Jesus was in control. He willingly went to Jerusalem to die to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies about him. He wanted to show that this was God's plan and he was fulfilling it. Now, a few weeks ago, Jamie gave us a timeline of how evil spread and was checked in the Old Testament. Today, I want to give an even more important timeline. And it's more important because it's God's overall plan of salvation for the whole world, of which the Old Testament is a part. Great, thank you. Now, the timeline rightly shows in the center the cross, at the center of history. Christians believe that the cross is the center of history. But to start on the left, over here, in the beginning, God created the world. And then generally, in the rest of the Old Testament, as Jamie highlighted a couple of weeks ago, things go wrong. There are high points, of course, and one of those was the escape from Egypt by the people of Israel, which is being remembered as Passover in our story. When it referred to the festival is the Passover. Well, then Jesus came, but crucially, he died, so that the punishment for our wrongs could be wiped clean in the sight of God. If you were here last week, think back to the illustration that Alison gave us when she illustrated the sin of us being disappeared as a result of Jesus' death. And the rest of the New Testament, slightly aligned there, you notice, because it goes into the future, whereas, of course, there was a gap between the New and the Old Testament. But the New Testament tells us about the rest of the early church, and including the apostles' understanding of why Jesus came. And we'll see some of that during the course of our little talk. Now, in the after the Bible period, we can look back and understand what happened. Do we know everything? No. But we do know that Jesus is coming back. We read that in the Bible. And that's something as Christians we look forward to. So that is God's plan for the world in 2 minutes as a background to the story where we are today. So let's look back to the start of this timeline, to creation and the first point of our story. Jesus was always king. Now, most of us in this room believe that Jesus is king and has always been king. And John tells us this. Now, remember that John, who we've read, the account that we've read of Palm Sunday, starts his gospel with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He then goes on and says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, there's lots of lessons, obviously. Sermons, series of sermons have been preached on those words. But one lesson is that Jesus is God from the beginning. Okay, that's two lessons. Jesus is God, and Jesus is God from the beginning. But he was always king. That's what the Bible is telling us. And the Bible tells us also that Jesus was involved in creation. In Colossians 1, verse 15, we read, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, that's Jesus, all things were created. Now this gives us an idea of what a position Jesus had in heaven and what he gave up to come to this world, to become human and then to die. Jesus the Messiah knew what he had to come to earth to do and was now on his way to Jerusalem to fulfill it. Now, by way of an introduction to something of the excitement of that day, I'd like to show a short video. As I've just mentioned, John introduced his gospel by talking of Jesus as the Word. The Word in flesh. But that Word is also our Bible. We also refer to the Word as the Bible. So what I want to show you, and it's slightly, to use a very long word here, unrelated to the story in one sense, but it gives us something of the excitement of the Kimyal people in Papua New Guinea receiving the Bible in their own language for the first time. Thank you. Now, I wanted to show you that video as for a number of reasons, but one, it reminds us perhaps how we take the Bible for granted. The excitement there of the Kimyal people should encourage us to value our Bibles. And the pastor in the clip certainly knew his Bible. But the other reason I wanted to show you that clip, as I said before, it gives us something of the excitement of Jesus entering Jerusalem. We are told that the people were shouting and waving palm branches. There was a genuine excitement in the air. So let's move on to a second point. Jesus is king, but not that king. Now, perhaps some in the crowd, maybe even the disciples, were wondering whether Jesus was starting an uprising to become king of Israel. And we can understand why they might have thought this, to give you three reasons. Jesus was a powerful and charismatic leader. We've seen that through his earthly ministry. The land was controlled by a hated foreign invader, the Romans, and the people wanted rid of the Romans. And Jesus himself was making a show of coming into Jerusalem, God's holy city, at the time of Passover, when the Jews remembered their deliverance from another powerful oppressor, the Egyptians. Now that wasn't Jesus' intention, but we can see how that might have appeared. In one sense, albeit a false sense, one can view this as a pivot point in history. Now, perhaps you're wondering, what on earth is he talking about now? Well, go back to Alice Newton, who I told you about at the start of the talk. If she hadn't been so enthusiastic about the story she had just read, perhaps the Harry Potter mega success would never have taken place. Maybe, maybe not. But what if Jesus had chosen to ride that wave of popularity and become a human king? And as Christians, we believe he had the power to do that. But, and it's a very big but, our God is a just God. He would have to punish all who had done wrong. And, to quote scripture, if none other was good enough to pay the price of sin, and that sacrifice did not take place, we couldn't look forward to an eternity with him. So God wasn't going to be an earthly king. Did his disciples understand that? Clearly no. John tells us that only after Jesus had been glorified, in other words, after Jesus had died, did they realize that Jesus had to die to fulfill his plan. There's an important lesson to learn here. Did little Alice Newton know what she did was going to have the impact it would? No, she didn't. Well, in the same way, when we serve God, do we know the impact that it will have? If we serve God by witnessing about him, about being Christ-like in the way that we deal with others, we don't know how God will use our actions for good in his plan. Let's move on. We can see that Jesus was in control on Palm Sunday. Jesus is goading his enemies, and we can see the reaction in verse 19. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And here the Pharisees speak more wisely than they know, because the whole world will go after him. But they were desperate to get rid of him. Other gospel accounts tell us how he engineered the day with the provision of donkeys, and we saw a little bit of that in the video. Jesus went willingly to Jerusalem to fulfill his plan. Let's talk briefly about horses. What a wonderful gift of an animal that God has given to the human race. And one can list how horses have helped the human race in farming, in transport, in recreation, and the list goes on. And this fella, I think you'll agree, looks a friendly beast. However, it does seem strange to us that a king would ride on a donkey. Don't kings ride impressive-looking steeds on which to fight like medieval knights? Well, that's what we think. And to some extent, I think that's what the people at the time would have thought. The Romans certainly had cavalry. But Jesus arriving into Jerusalem on a young donkey is symbolic for at least two reasons. Firstly, he's fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy from Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9:9, you can look it up later if you wish. Jesus' plan for salvation had been planned for hundreds of years before it happened. Now this shows us that the Bible hangs together. It's not a random set of books. We can see a pattern, we can see a storyline going through it, something of which I gave you in that storyline at the beginning. And also, it gives us the confidence in the God that made it happen. And secondly, Jesus arriving on a donkey shows that he's humble. He's the servant king that we talked about earlier. It shows us the sort of king he is, humble and about to show the greatest act of love. Jesus wasn't king like our queen is queen. He wasn't that king, but he is king. He is king in the sense that he's God. Now, as we approach Easter, and we've talked a little bit about Easter already in the course of the service, it's very clear that Jesus was in control. He didn't have to go through with his plan, but that was the way he chose to show his love for us. As Romans 5 says, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, we've seen that Jesus is king, and that Jesus is king, but not that king. Let's think briefly about Jesus is to be king. We have thought a little bit about that donkey's foal that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, showing him to be humble. And while Jesus is going to die, he's also going to rise again. We celebrate that next Easter Sunday. But the Bible doesn't end there. It ends in the book of Revelation, when the same author that we've been reading today, John, prophesies about what is to come. And I want to read just one verse from Revelation 19. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now this is a horse, and I think you'll agree, a very fine specimen. What a contrast to the humble donkey. When Jesus comes again, he will come in triumph. And there's a deliberate contrast on the one hand of Jesus on a donkey to Jesus on a powerful war horse. Jesus' plan is still to be completely fulfilled, in that he will call his own to be with him, but he will also judge all. Yes, Jesus does come humbly now and in love now, but he's coming again, as Trevor reminded us only last week, at which point every knee shall bow. Now, as we finish, we've seen that Jesus came willingly to Jerusalem that original Palm Sunday. Think back to the first video that we saw at the very start of the service. It talked about a riddle, a Palm Sunday. And perhaps there is a little bit of a riddle about Palm Sunday. And at the heart of that riddle is the question, why didn't Jesus ride in like an earthly king and take control? Well, Jesus was making a way for us to be right with him. He was going to die as a punishment for our wrong. He was showing his love. And in that, his ways are better by far than what we might expect. God's plans are often different to our plans. So, application. What should we understand from Palm Sunday? One lesson for all. Very brief. Acknowledge Jesus as King. Give thanks to him, particularly as we draw into this Easter week. Jesus is King. Jesus was King from before time started. Jesus is King at Palm Sunday. Jesus is King now, whether we admit it or not. And there is coming a time when he will return, when we won't be able to deny it, for Jesus is to be King for all eternity. Let's sing about that now. Thank you.